Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
It seems almost an anticlimax to even get up and preach this morning. What a great time we've already had this morning as we have worshiped our Lord and we've celebrated the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, America has always been a people who not only lived freedom, but who demanded freedom. You go back to the founding of this nation. People first came to this nation from across the seas because they wanted freedom. They demanded freedom, and they were willing to sacrifice whatever it took so that they might live in freedom. America was a whole new concept of freedom. Every other nation before had always had a monarch, a king, or a Caesar, or a dictator, or someone who dictated to everybody else what they could and could not do, what they could and could not believe, and how they could and could not behave. In America, through the Constitution that we have, we started a new experiment. And America, being a new experiment, has turned the world upside down for democracy, for a republic, for a nation to live in freedom. And how blessed we are that we have the opportunity today not only to celebrate the freedom that has been so heavily paid for us. The price was so great to give us the freedom. But we have the responsibility now to live in that freedom and to carry that freedom on. Someone has said that the freedom of the people, the freedom of our nation, is dependent upon each and every generation. That we are only one generation from slavery. We're only one generation from losing the freedoms that we so enjoy. Those freedoms that many gave the supreme sacrifice to enable us to live today. Calvin Coolidge, a former president of the United States, one who wasn't known for talking much, he didn't speak a lot, but he had this to say. He said, to live under the American Constitution is the greatest political privilege that God ever gave to mankind. Now, what he was affirming there was that in America, mankind is meant to be free, to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's nothing like living in freedom. In our text today, in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 6, you're going to find something about real freedom, about how to live in freedom. Now, we're aware of what Jesus had said back when he was walking on the earth before he was crucified. When he said, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, Peter talks about that freedom that we have, but it's not just necessarily the physical freedom, but the spiritual freedom that we have been liberated from sin. Let me share with you what the Scripture says here. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. And they think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. Now you'll notice that Peter, as he is writing these words, he's talking about freedom, a spiritual freedom, that we as the children of God enjoy. I want to suggest to you here today that there is no freedom, no real freedom, outside of Jesus Christ. You see, freedom is not the license to sin. Freedom is to accept the freedom of responsibility. And with freedom, there always comes responsibility. Many of you have served our nation in the armed services. I am so proud of you. I want you to know that I appreciate you and I love you. And I thank you for the service that you have given to our country. I appreciate so much what you have done. And the freedoms that we enjoy, we owe in a large part to you. But there's something much deeper than just the physical freedom that we enjoy as a nation. There's that spiritual freedom that God instills within the hearts of mankind. And without that freedom that Jesus gives to us, there is no real freedom. You can look back to the beginning of time. Look back to when God created the heavens and the earth. And you will see there that God created man that he would have dominion over sin. And the first point of the message, by the way, if you have your outline, is right there. We have freedom. We have been set free from the dominion of sin. I love so much the way that Peter put this in the first verse. He says, since Christ suffered in his body, he went to the cross. He died there for us to set us free. He says, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Now when that passage of Scripture was given to us, when Peter gave that to us, he was not saying that Jesus was done sinning because Jesus never sinned. But what he is saying is that when Jesus went to the cross, and he died there on that cross for us. He shed his blood for the atonement of our sins. That once and for all, finally and forevermore, sin is defeated. Sin no more has dominion over the child of God. Sin has no dominion over you. If you sin, it's because you choose to sin. If you go against what God has decreed in His Word and what God instilled within you through His Spirit, it will be because you have chosen to do so. Sin does not have dominion over you. The devil has never made you do anything. You've chosen that. I want you to note today, you have been set free from the dominion of sin, from the power of sin over your life. You need to claim that power. You need to rebuke the sin that had beset you. You need to leave it behind you because sin has no dominion over your life. Look back to Adam and Eve again. Look at them in the Garden of Eden. God had literally given them heaven on earth. Everything was there before them. All the blessings that God intended for all of mankind was upon them in the Garden of Eden. But they yielded to temptation. They chose to sin. And because of that, they chose to be enslaved to sin. rather than to be free in Christ. Every time you sin, every time I sin, we are doing just like Adam and Eve. We are saying to God, I want to be God. We're saying to God, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Every time we sin, we are enslaving ourselves again to the bondage that sin brings upon mankind. Paul told the people of Galatia in chapter 5 in verse 1, you've been set free. Why do you enter again or go back into the slavery, into the enslavement of sin in your life? I want to ask that of people today. God has placed us in a free nation, an experiment that has turned the world upside down, an experiment that is the envy of all the world in the freedom that God has given us. Why would we go back into slavery, into bondage, spiritually, when Christ has set us free? We have been set free from the dominion of sin. And you'll notice there that as Jesus went to the cross, suffered bodily, verse 1 tells us, suffered bodily on the cross in order to set us free. Peter says, let this same attitude be in your heart. An attitude to live in freedom. An attitude, and get this, to be done with sin. To be done with sin. To hate the sin that has enslaved you. And to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. And to take your stand as a child of God. And to say to Satan, to say to the world, and listen to me, say to yourself, sin has no dominion over me. I'm going to live in freedom. And I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, who has set me free. That's the attitude that we need in our heart. That's the attitude that we are commanded to have as children of God. You see, many Christians, we're so glad that we are going to make heaven and miss hell, and we ought to be, okay? We ought to be. But I want to remind you of something that maybe you haven't thought about. Jesus did not come to save you from hell. Think about that. His saving us from hell is a byproduct of what He really came to do. It's a result that takes place, and I praise God for it. But Jesus did not come to save us from hell. The Bible says Jesus came to save us from our sin. He came to save us from our sin. And if Jesus came and His purpose was to save us from our sin, why in the world would a child of God go back to the enslavement of sin in their life? We're to live in freedom. In the freedom that Jesus has given us. And that desire and that commitment to live in freedom means that we are done with sin, and we ought to be as willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to be done with sin as we are to have freedom in our life. Whatever sacrifice it takes. We've been set free from the dominion of sin in our life. Second, we've been set free from the depravity of sin. Notice in verses 2 through 4, he talks about that. He says as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires. but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into that same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse upon you. Did you notice how Peter just lays it out there for us? Peter reminds us about what really causes us and what really persuades us to look back on the way life used to be, on the sin we used to do, and say to us, those things are not a part of your life any longer. You're going in the opposite direction. You are to live after the will of God. Now, what he's speaking about there is repentance. The repentance of sin. As you know, the word repent really literally means to turn around and to go in the opposite direction. It means to be broken over the sin that you committed. It means to hate the sin that you committed. And one thing that needs to be preached in churches all across our land today is that we must repent of our sin. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no repentance of sin. And Jesus went to the cross and He died there for us. And He commands everyone now. The Bible says there was a time when God winked at sin. But now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, He commands everybody to come to repentance. Now, I know it's not popular to preach on repentance of sin, to preach on hell, but let me tell you, God gives us very clearly here, if you're going to live in freedom, repentance is required. You want to know why? You fall so easily for temptation in your life on a daily basis. Because you don't hate your sin. You don't hate your sin. Unlike Moses in Hebrews the 11th chapter, who refused to live in sin and the pleasures of sin for a season, too many of God's people today count the pleasures of sin greater than their sacrifice for God. Greater than their freedom in Jesus Christ. God calls us to repentance. We're not going to live. We're not going to do the things, behave in the ways that we used to. Because our heart and our life understands that the sin has enslaved God's people. Sin has enslaved those who are dead without Christ. And if Christ has set us free, we're going to follow His will. Because sin will destroy you. It'll destroy you spiritually. It'll cause you to be miserable. If you're a child of God and you have sin that you're harboring in your life, you will be, I promise you, the Bible stands by this, you'll be the most miserable person on the face of this earth. Because you are a child of God and you're away from God. It's time for repentance. You've got to learn to hate your sin. You've got to learn to see sin for what it really is. That sin nailed Jesus to the cross. That sin enslaved you. That sin is out to destroy you. To rob you of what God wants for your life. That's the depravity of sin. And you'll notice that he mentions there in verse 4 and then also in verse 5 that there's a result that happens with that sin. That ultimately we're going to answer for our sin. Every unconfessed sin that you harbor and you carry in your life, one day, you're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to answer for that sin. How precious it is. How precious it is to me that Jesus says that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to separate our sin as far as the east is from the west from us, and to remember our sin no more. But for that to take place, there must be that confession, there must be that repentance in our life. And what I'm calling you for today, I'm calling you to understand that if you are harboring sin in your life, that sin has enslaved you again. And I'm calling upon you to confess that sin, repent of that sin before the Lord Jesus, and to be set free from that sin in Christ. Sin has no dominion over me, over you. You've been set free from the dominion and power of sin. You've been set free from the depravity of sin. And praise God, you've been set free from the doom of sin. Sin cannot touch you. Sin cannot destroy you if you're walking in Jesus Christ. You made a decision for Christ. You said in that decision, I accept the fact that Jesus bore my sin upon His cross. I identify with that. And in obedience to Jesus, I take up my cross and I follow Him. I take up death to self that I might live in Jesus. And because of that, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead as well. And death has no power over you. Doom has no power over you. But I want you to listen to me. A person without Christ, they have lived their whole life enslaved to sin. Their whole life has been a waste because it is in direct contradiction to what God had planned for them and for their life. Oh yes, God has a plan for everybody. He has a purpose for everyone. But we make the choice. We choose the path. We choose the road that we will take. We choose either to follow Christ or we choose to follow self. We only have one life to live. You only have one life to live. Be very careful how you live it. Because not only does it affect your freedom or your enslavement throughout this life. It affects whether your life is a wasted life or a life full of abundance and a life full of accomplishment in Jesus Christ. But it goes far further than that. How you live your life, how you have that relationship with Jesus will determine your eternity either in heaven or in hell. And you better believe me because the Bible is clear. Hell is real. It's just as real as heaven is real. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying it because it's fact. Jesus has set us free from hell, which we deserve, because He came to save us from our sins that enslaved us. He came to set us free. And if your Son has set you free, you are free indeed. I like the way the King James Version says that. You are free indeed. And what it literally means, if you go back to the Greek, you are free to the completion. You are free to the utmost. You are totally, completely, forever free in Jesus Christ. So don't enslave yourself again with sin. John tells us in his epistle, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we're sinners or we're liars and the truth is not in us. But again, as I quoted to you, if we're willing to confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just, to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to set us free to live for Jesus. Are you free today? Do you know him as Lord and Savior of your life? For you see, freedom is not something that's really just on the outside. It's not something just free in society or on the government books or in the Constitution. Real freedom comes from the heart. It comes from knowing Jesus Christ. If you have not trusted Him as Lord and Savior of your life, I challenge you, I encourage you right here, right now, to pray and ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your life, to be Lord, be boss in your life, to enable you to die to self so that Jesus can live through you. If you make that decision this morning, I want you to come and share that with me, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, as well as believing in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead. And you'll be saved. You'll be set free. Christians, we've been set free. Don't let sin enslave you again. Confess that sin. Repent of that sin. Our altar is open. Recommit your heart to the Lord Jesus. Commit your life to living in freedom. That's what we celebrate. Let it be real within you in Jesus Christ. Our altar is open for you and we invite you to come. However God's leading, whether He's leading you to come for salvation, to recommit your heart, to come and unite with this fellowship if that's God's will for you, we welcome you, and we're praying for you, and we're here to help. So as we stand together, you step out and make your decision for Jesus Christ.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.